Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. It's Sugarbush season. And yesterday, Heidi and John Latimer spoke with David Manuel about the history of trading and the economics of maple sugaring between Native Americans and explorers. And this morning, we're talking with Bob Schimmick about the cultural significance of the Sugarbush season in the Native community. He's joining us now. Where are you, Bob? Sometimes when I talk to you, you're on the top of a hill in white earth.
Good morning, Katie, and it's good to be with you.
Meg Witch for joining us.
This morning, I am speaking to you from the northeastern shores of Mud Lake, which is kind of in the south central part of the White Earth Indian Reservation.
Okay. Well, last night you celebrated the Anishinaabe New Year with a ceremonial feast for the Sugarbush. We want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I just need to say a couple of things. One, you know, when we call out the maple tree in our own language, we call them Inanatig, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. The other thing I want to say is, in terms of this actually doing this ceremonial part, my involvement has been relatively short. It's only about in the last 8 or 9 years that I've started doing this. And it came about 1 year when we were all sitting here waiting for the sap to flow. But winter kept on going and going and going. And it's like, geez, is it ever going to end, you know, because it would almost get warm enough. Then it would get a bunch more snow and cold. And, you know, we were getting well into April, the first week of April. And I remember a time back in the, mid-late 80s on, old-timers from Panema up on the Red Lake Reservation, they kept telling me that ceremony for Inanatig, that's the most important one you can do through the entire year. Make sure you do that. It's like, well, okay, but I didn't for a variety of reasons, including moving out of the area for a bit. But anyway, came back. We had this winter that wouldn't quit. And I kept thinking, you know, we got to do this ceremony. If these trees are ever going to run, we got to help them out with some ceremony. We got to feed them. We got to feast them. We got to talk for them. We got to talk for all them spirits that oversee all this. So I took my old flip phone and I walked out to the end of the driveway and I started calling everybody I could think of who might know how to do this particular one. I called around and nobody knew. I kept calling. And I kept calling. Finally, I found one old man. He says, you know, I don't know it myself, but I think I know somebody who does. And he told me who. I got a hold of that individual. We scheduled a time for a couple of days later. I went up there. We feasted the Sugarbush. He talked for all those spirits. He did all the different pieces. And the next day, the sun came out, the temperatures started warming. And within a couple of days, the sap started to flow. So I think something happened there because I'm almost 100% convinced that these trees around here, I can't speak for others, they're not going to run till we have that ceremony for them. So that's how it all came about for me. It's like, we have to do this, you know? And once you get inside all this, of course, it takes off in many, many, many different directions. And, you know, as I think I might have mentioned yesterday, you know, this thing is huge. We could probably talk about this for a couple of hours. And, of course, we don't have that much time. Real briefly, things I look for, before the sugar bush. You know, we have a moon that we call, the moon when the crows return. Sometimes, and we have 13 moons. We don't go by 12. We go by 13, so it's a little different. But it's kind of February-ish. So when we start hearing the crows, you know, well, it's not too far off. And, of course, we look at length of day, nighttime lows and daytime high temperatures. The winds, the four winds, are hugely important in all this. And one day here, maybe 4 or 5 days ago, I was walking out of a house someplace and had a couple of my sugar bush helpers with me and walked outside and I said, notice how that sun feels on your face. Notice how that wind feels on your face. What direction is it coming from? And I said, we're close. We're getting close. So, there's more than that, but that's just a little bit of the things that we think about.
Yeah. It's interesting, of course, you mentioned. Go ahead, Bob.
No, go ahead.
I was in the living room yesterday and I mentioned to Barb, I said, boy, the crows are really noisy. It just struck me yesterday that the crows were back. They were just in the trees, just talking away. But.
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing them for a bit now, maybe a week and a half or so. And so I knew we were getting close. And then there's, of course, this, you know, the ceremonial component. And, that part, as was suggested, you know, we did that last night for our sugar bush here.
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of what that is about, you know, the way we believe our old-time Anishinaabe spiritual structure, spiritual belief system, you know, yeah, there is one central higher being, but there's all these helpers. There's all these spirit helpers, and they're all over the place, and there's a whole bunch of them. But there are some that are specific to the sugar bush. So during that ceremony, first of all, we asked permission from them to go out amongst Anunnaki and gather that life-giving sap. But it's also about Thanksgiving for all that they have provided for us. I mean, some of these are very important parts of other elements of our seasonal harvesting, gathering, Thanksgiving ceremonies. So that's the essence of kind of what that part is all about. It's mostly giving thanks. You know, honoring, celebrating them so that they'll share their life with us, okay? Yeah. And then, you know, there's a legend. There's a legend that goes with that. You know, and as I like to say, you know, we have our creation story like many other cultures and belief systems do. Mm-hmm. But ours is kind of ongoing. It wasn't just this one moment or this one week, or this one month, or this one year, or whatever. Ours is ongoing. And that, you know, we talk about how Anunnaki got here. You know, because a lot of what's here today, it didn't all come at once. It came over a period of time. So we tell that legend about, you know, how Anunnaki got here. We talk about how it came to be that the Anishinaabe became aware of that gift of life that this particular tree brings.
Can you share that legend, or is that something that needs to be kept sacred for the ceremony itself?
Well, it takes about an hour and a half. Maybe I'll invite you sometime.
I love that.
You can see for yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't go into that in part. I'm not sure if live on the air radio is the parent. The other thing is, of course, it takes a while to get through that entire thing. There's all these pieces in there all about how we got that tree, how it came to be, that initially we got the syrup, and how it was turned to sap, and then the process we need to go through to make it back into syrup.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest part, and for many others, it's like a New Year's celebration for us. Some have even called it that around here. That time when the sap flows from the tree is the Anishinaabe New Year. And there's a number of reasons for that, of course. Bear in mind that things weren't always the way they are now, and that there were times in our past where winters were difficult. I mean, at best, winters were a trying time just because of the cold, the snow, sometimes deep snow, sometimes the winters that won't end. So much of what we're looking at here with this new year is, you know, a piece of this is, you know, back in the day, we didn't ask you when your birthday was. We ask you, how many winters have you lived?
Hmm.
How many winters have you survived? Because there were those times when maybe the Anishinaabe were running low on food or running out of food. There were those times where perhaps some of the most vulnerable amongst us passed because there wasn't enough food, that being the very young.
Mm-hmm.
And the very old. So getting to that time of the year when the sap flows from the tree was hugely, hugely important.
Yeah.
But it's also the celebration of life, new life, because as that sap flows from the trees, you know, new life is returning to the land. You know, it's not only the crows. You know, shortly behind them come the geese and the swans and the ducks, you know, who, again, can become an important source of food if your village is running low at the end of winter. It's also a time when, you know, by the end of Sugarbush, you know, there's the earth is warming and new life. You know, different plants, the wild leeks or onions, the fiddleheads, all these different things, all these different food forms are starting to pop up and make themselves available. And, you know, there was, I don't know, there's a whole other story but behind this, which I won't go into, but, you know, certain animals, Gog, the one we call porcupine,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're coming out and they're kind of stumbling around out there. They're not fully awake yet. You know, back in the old days, they call that survival food. And I can guarantee you, I know why. I've had spring porcupine, and let me tell you, it's awful. Terrible. But if you're hungry, it's end of winter, and there's Gog kind of stumbling around out there, you know. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So there are times we honor Gog in our ceremony because some of us might not be here if it wasn't for Gog, you know, coming in at just the right time to make sure that we could survive. So I think, you know, that's probably enough for now. I don't know. There's so much more to this. But yeah, well, we've had our 15 minutes, so...
Well,
I don't know if you have some questions, I'd be
It's such a great time of year because it does feel like we made it and there's new life coming. So it's definitely a reason to celebrate for sure. How many taps do you have going this year, Bob?
Well, we've got about, I think we got about 240 out right now. We'll probably put in another 50 or 60 maybe tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're almost there now. You know, not only in terms of getting all our taps out, but I think the sap's ready now. I think it's going to be, you know, later this week and into next week, I think we're going to get pretty busy. Oh, one piece real quickly before I go. Inanotic. It's a conjugation of two words in our language. Inini, which stands for man. Matig, which is tree. So they put them together, you come up with Inanotic. So I asked about that one time. I said, well, so what's in that word? What's going on in there? You know, you have man tree. And this guy says, yep, that's where it starts. You look at that word for its literal meaning, there it is. Man tree. But what we're talking about here is tree of man or tree of mankind. Okay? So when we say that word, that, you know, in our own Indian way around here, this part of Anishinaabe Yaqui, this part of Indian country, we're invoking that one that stands for, you know, it's like our tree of life,
yeah.
Our tree of mankind. And so I asked this old guy, I said, so it sounds to me like you could probably write a bunch of books just about that one word and what it means internally within our culture and within our spiritual structure. And he says, yeah. So that's it. That's all I want to say about that.
Inanotig. Is that how I say it?
Inanotig.
Okay.
Yep, Inanotig.
Well, Miigwech, for joining us today and scratching the surface of what this all means for the Anishinaabe. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for giving me the time to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah. Have a great season. Have a great sugarbush season.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Yep.
All right. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the citizens of Minnesota.